trees, mountains, a curious kiddo. It's time for the Green Disc with Connor Mercer on 95 BFM.
On the Green Desk this week with Connor Mercer, we hear from University of Canterbury biologist Dr. Andrew Wright about advances in aquatic mammal research. New data collected from behavioural loggers attached to marine mammals suggests the presence of a newly identified dive phase for whales, dolphins, porpoises and the like. Connor started off by asking Dr. Wright to expand on the conclusions of the data.
Briefly, to summarise, the dives themselves are a new type of dive that we've not seen before, but the sleeping behaviour is something that we have seen previously in captive animals, where the animals, because they live underwater but breathe air, they actually have to sleep with just half their brain at a time. So it allows them to keep moving and swimming and breathing and so forth. So this is the first time we've actually seen it in the wild at depths, but their behaviour has been seen before. Now, because it's happening at the wild and at depths, there are implications for how aware the animal is of fishing nets, of how the animals can be detected by using passive acoustic monitoring or sound recorders underwater. And that's because half the time while they're doing this behavior, they're also clicking less. They use echolocation clicks to find food. And of course, when half their brain is asleep, they're going to be doing that a lot less because they don't need to find food.
So could this have an effect for the way that we run fisheries around New Zealand? Should we be looking at avoiding certain depths for trawling and large net fishing?
Well, that's definitely one possibility. For example, with the Maui dolphin, which is one of the species of greatest concern around New Zealand, it would be worth trying to find out about where they are sleeping in the water column as well. It may be different from one porpoise to one dolphin to one whale. So we'd need to look at exactly where the Maui dolphin and the Hector's dolphin, which are very closely related subspecies, then we might be able to apply this to fisheries by saying, okay, you can't set nets at perhaps 7 meters, 7 to 10 meters, whatever it may be. So there's definitely some possibilities there to try and separate the periods of greatest concern for the animals from the fishing activity so that both can coexist.
So when these mammals are in this state where they're operating their brain to half capacity, how easy is it for them to become aware that, say, for example, there is a net approaching or that danger is approaching? How easy is it for them to switch back to 100% operating capacity and sort of move out of there, I suppose?
Just like it, if you hear a sudden noise while you're sleeping, the animals can suddenly respond at full level. However, the question is whether they can respond at full level quickly enough. If what triggers them to become fully awake again is actually coming into contact with the net, then it may still be too late for the animal. Like I said, sometimes the animals will still be clicking while they're in this sort of semi-awake phase. Sometimes they won't be. And if they're not clicking, then they can't see the nets using sound, because they use the sound to get a map of their environment. So if they're being quiet at the time, there's not much that they will know about until they hit the net.
So I wanted to talk about the passive acoustic monitoring technology. It's a heavily relied upon tool, but now that we understand that animals at certain times will be emitting more clicks as opposed to other times, is it something that we can still rely on going to the future, or do we need to rethink our orientation towards this sort of technology?
Well, there's definitely some additional limitations that need to be considered, because you won't be detecting all the animals all the time. And this is something that we've been aware of because not all animals do click all the time. However, some species, like the porpoise, are thought to click pretty much continuously. So this does mean that there are now new periods of time where we may not hear the animals using the passive acoustic technology. And as I said, this is something we've had to deal with because, for example, beaked whales that go to very deep water depths, they don't usually click within the last 200 or 300 meters of the surface. So they will stop periodically. So this is just sort of applying this limitation that we're aware of to a few new species.
So where's the next stage in research? How do we further our understanding of what these animals are doing when they're sitting at this depth and how we can best operate our fishery practices around it?
Well, we explored this behavior using tag data, and so it would be worth considering tagging of other species, and there are increasingly good non-invasive tags to help us do that. But one of the ongoing work that I am involved in is actually using underwater video of bottlenose dolphins in the Red Sea, where the water is a little clearer than it is where the Maui dolphin lives. And then we can actually see the bottlenose dolphins with their eye closed underwater, which is the diagnostic of sleeping, which obviously you can't see from the tags. But now that we have an idea of what we're looking for, it is possible for biologists to be using the data that we gather from tagged animals and start looking for this particular behavior in the record. So it's going to be easier for others to look back at their existing data and also explore and go, okay, well, maybe right there that was sleeping.
So I wanted to ask one final question. What effect does water temperature have on this dive stage where the animals let go of half their brain, get some regeneration, some sleep going? Is less time spent at this at a warmer water, or is it for those animals that are spending their time in colder waters, they need to have a set period of time where they can sort of relax and regenerate?
Well, we really don't know yet, because it may even depend on the different species involved. But because we've only just sort of realized that this behavior is occurring, we haven't started dealing with those questions yet. I can tell you that in the Red Sea work that I'm doing with the bottlenose dolphins, the animals tend to do it along the side of reef walls, so they have a particular habitat where they go to. But it's quite possible that different water temperatures will influence different behaviors.
You've been listening to The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95 BFM.
That was Connor Mercer speaking with Dr. Andrew Wright from the University of Canterbury.